My name's Rachel Leith. I'm interviewing Buford John Bufkin, and it is November 16th, 2014, and we are at the University of Montana in Missoula, Montana. Okay, Bo, could you tell me your name and what unit you were in?
Buford John Bufkin. I was in Bravo Battery, 177 Field Artillery, which is part of the 172nd Separate Infantry Brigade out of Germany.
Whoa, that's crazy. What was Germany like?
It's like here, but just completely different. Like, you would think it's similar, I guess. But people, like, space, the people's, like, conception of space is a lot smaller. So people are kind of, like, more friendlier. And what else? The food's a lot better. more efficient. There's a lot more taxis and trains, so it's easier to get around everywhere without having a car. What else? A lot of history, too. There's a lot of castles and stuff out in the countryside.
Cool.
Sorry. The cities are a lot more compact, too, which is all part of the space thing, I guess.
I really want to go to Germany.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So could you tell me, like, where you're from and what you grew, like, where you grew up?
My dad was in the Navy, so we moved around a lot. But I was born in Oakland, California, but I grew up primarily in Virginia, pretty much from, like, what, third grade till I joined the Army.
When did you join the Army?
In 2009, the summer of 2009.
And how old are you?
19.
19. What did your parents think?
They were a little bit hesitant and nervous at first because, like, we were just on a shift focus to Afghanistan away from Iraq. So, like, you're, like, seeing, like, reports in the news and stuff, and, like, we're kind of full swing of things. And, but I'd say overall, they're happy for me, I guess, because I was getting out of the house.
Did you always plan on joining the Army?
No. As a child, I guess, like, you play, like, you know, like, war with your friends or guns or whatever, you know. But, I mean, I never went much beyond that until I was just tired of living at home and just working and, like, not really seeing a way out. And the Army seemed like a good option at the time. And I pretty much gave it about 2 months thought, really like a month. And I signed up and I shipped out. Well, there was a little bit of trouble at first over some legal issues, drinking tickets. So I had to choose a different job. And, yeah, I was out. I signed up in June or July, I think. And I was out in January.
What was your, like, first impression?
Of what?
Of the Army.
First impression was basic training. On the bus there, I was scared, very scared. But once I got out and saw, like, how, I guess, different things were and, like, what they are in the movies, I was kind of like, oh, it's going to be kind of easy, I think, as long as I keep my head straight and don't let them brainwash me too bad.
What was your first day like?
Let's see. We got there to Fort Jackson. That's where I did basic training, probably around 11 o'clock at night, somewhere around then. We got like our PT uniform issued to you, which is just like track pants pretty much and like a track jacket. And they told us to go to bed. We're going to wake up in 5 hours for more like end processing stuff. So just a lot of paperwork and waiting in line, trying to stay awake while waiting in line. Yeah. That's the first thing you learn is how to stay awake, I guess.
What was the rest of basic like?
It was pretty easy. I went in the middle of winter, and even though it's in South Carolina, it still got pretty cold because you're sleeping outside sometimes. Overall, I'd say it was pretty easy. I thought it was interesting to see. I thought I kept my mind straight, so it was interesting to see how everyone else kind of bought into the whole system, I guess, you know? Like the, I guess they're all like gung-ho about it, even though a lot of them were like reservists. So that was pretty much like the most time you're going to spend active duty-wise in the Army.
How do you determine like who's reserve and who's active?
When you sign up, you can choose what you want to do. So, and plus like you like to talk to each other because you're like the same, what, like 100 people or so for all basic training. So you like talk to each other and find out. And I was the only combat arms MOS there, which is MOS is a job. So I was the only combat arms job in like my whole company.
Why did you get it? Did you choose it?
Yes.
Why did you choose it?
I was originally trying to want to be like a cook or something, just like pretty much I didn't want to get like my legs blown off or anything. Then my dad told me that even if like you're a cook or like a non-combat job, you can still go out there. You're still gonna get thrown out there sometimes, like not all the time, but there's still a good chance. So I figured might as well just go the other way with it and just actually be prepared, I guess, and do something interesting instead of, whatever.
Cooking. You could have learned to be a great chef, though.
Just microwave eggs, probably.
Yeah, what was the food like?
It really depended. Okay, so basic training, the food was all right. A lot of people thought it sucked. I thought it was all right. It was better than I thought it would be. The food in Germany, not like the actual German food, but like the food on base in Germany was pretty terrible. The food in Afghanistan was very sparse because we were out like far away, so it's hard to get supplies to us. So like, I lost a lot of weight. I was probably like 15 pounds skinnier than I am now. And but yeah, it was all right, I guess. It wasn't terrible.
So, you first went to Germany, and then from there you went to Afghanistan?
Yes.
How many combat tours did you do?
Just one for 12 months.
Oh, wow. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what made you decide to join?
I was just tired of living at home. Really, that's really the number one reason. Plus, I kind of want to go to school, but I didn't want to like. Well, I didn't want to go to college right after high school because I was pretty tired of school. So I want to take a break, and just, I mean, really like no, like there's not like a solid reason, I guess. Just pretty much I want to get out of the house. I want to like go and like travel a little bit. And yeah, it just seemed like a good time to sign up, I guess.
True. Let's see. I always ask my questions out of order and then forget which ones I asked already. So what was the most exciting thing that you did in the military?
Most exciting, probably in terms of like pure excitement, probably Afghanistan. Just 'cause like the feeling of like knowing that like you could die and like it's almost gonna happen. Just like it's kind of scary, but like your adrenaline is pumping so hard that it kind of overrides it, I guess. And it's really just like a roller coaster times like 10.
What was your first impression of Afghanistan?
My first, very first impression. Let's see. So, we got to Afghanistan by going from Germany to Kyrgyzstan, then from Kyrgyzstan to a big Air Force base in Afghanistan, and so like we went in, like an airplane, and like it's like a C-17, I think. It's one of the ones where like the back drops open like that, So they open it, I looked behind me because I was like facing forward, and like I couldn't see anything because it was like a dust storm. So I was like, it was like, is it open right now? Like, what's going on? Like, it's like my mind playing tricks on me or whatever. So it's really dusty at first. And then from there, there's about two more stops. So we got to where I was going to be for the next year, which is called FOB Tilman or Firebase Tilman or something like that. Just Tilman, pretty much, is what we called it. And I went from like bigger bases to like just consistently smaller and smaller. So yeah, so our final stop was at Tillman, and that was up in the mountains. My first impression, it was the middle of the night. We got out and like the moon was out, so I could still see like a little bit, even though my eyes were adjusted to like seeing it like purely off like the moonlight, So I could just see like the mountains like up there, like right next to me. And I was like, oh shit. I was like, 'cause like all the big bases were like, you see mountains like far, far away, I was like, oh, we're in the mountains now, And I was scared as a sniper in the mountain, like right there, When I woke up the next day, and there wasn't the case at all. There's like a base on top of the, like a little building on top of the mountains that we manned. So.
Was it pretty? What did it look like?
Yes, it's very pretty. I would say, like, it looks like I've never been to New Mexico, but I would assume it looks like New Mexico. It's like brown, like it's mountainy. There's like little like green bushes, like it's like pocketed throughout the whole countryside. And yeah, it's pretty cool. Like our base, like where the guns were, that's like what we call the howitzers, the cannons, the guns. We could like kind of see out into the valley. And like I remember, like one day, it's like seeing, like looked out, and I saw like a shepherd with like had to have been like 300 like goats. You just like, it's all you can see is like a big wave, big mass like moving like across like a mountain, like the side of a mountain. So
cool. So what was your job specifically?
My job specifically, I was a 13 Bravo, which is a cannon crew member. So pretty much my job was to like prepare ammunition. Well, we like switched around a lot. So I had like one set job because we had to like know all of them just in case like someone was gone or something, you know? So I started out doing as a number one man, which was I would take the round and like load it in the gun, you know, and like open it when after it's shot and take the canister and just chuck it and load another one. Then I was a radio operator. So it was like my job to like use a radio and make sure it worked and like write down all the data. And what else? Then I became a gunner, which was he's a gunner. He like input all the data on the gun and like adjusted the level so like it was accurate, you know. So it was like pretty much aiming the gun and then pulling the trigger. Then what else? I was an ammo team chief for a while. It's like that guy, he makes sure like all the ammo is like where it is and like he prepares all the rounds pretty much to get fired. So that's pretty much it.
Wow. That's a lot to do.
Yeah.
Oh no, now I'm dropping things. Let's see. So how would you say your like expectations were different than what you experienced?
The army as a whole or Afghanistan?
Both.
Let's see. I guess expectations for the army, I thought that you know, I kind of went in with an open mind, so I really didn't expect like a whole lot. I kind of just took it as it came. But I thought in basic training, we have a lot more free time, and we didn't at all. So that's one thing. And Afghanistan, I really didn't know what to expect either. Because, I mean, like, you read about it and, like, hear about it, but you don't really know what's going on until you experience it, I guess is the best way to describe it. So, but apparently our base got, like, attacked a lot, and I thought it was, like, normal throughout Afghanistan until, like we got there in July, I think, and, like, November, they told us, like, yeah, like, our base was, like, one of the most, like, heavily rocketed bases, and, like, we dropped the most, like, bombs and ordnance in, like, all of Afghanistan or something. So I was like, oh, okay. It didn't seem that bad to me, though, I thought it was just kind of the way things were.
What was it like getting attacked on a regular basis?
At first, I still remember the very first time I ever heard a rocket like coming through. I heard like a very like faint sound coming, and I had no idea what it was. And, like it was like until I saw like everyone else who had been to Iraq before, so they knew what the sound was, and they all started running. Like they didn't even say anything. So I kind of like looked around and just started like following them because I didn't know what was going on, and then. Like, yeah, once you hear it come closer and impact you, obviously knew what it was. But I'd say you get used to it, and like you even get like a sixth sense to it. Like you kind of know when something's gonna happen. Like I remember like one day, like I was just like sitting in bed. It was like the afternoon. I was because we were like if we didn't have anything to do, we pretty much just sat inside, you know, just in case you don't be sitting outside or outside rather, and get. Shrapnel. But yeah, so I was like sitting inside and I was like sat up on my bed and I was like something's about to happen like right now, you know, and the next thing I knew I heard like AKs being shot at the base, so yeah, we ran out and did what we had to do.
what'd you guys have to do when you got attacked?
The first thing, no matter what, like, so pretty much there are two types of attacks we got, which is rockets. Like, someone, like, set up, like, a rocket, like, on a bunch of rocks and shot it at us, you know? And then, or they, like, would be, like, we call it, like, a stand to or Alamo, which is, like, a bunch of guys with machine guns, like, shooting directly at us, you know what I mean? So, no matter what, the first thing we had to do was stop what we were doing, go run to the guns, and, like, get ready to shoot back. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's a good answer. Let's see. So was there any point while you were abroad where your perspective changed?
Yes, definitely. I think the very first time it happened was when I got to Germany. Well, let's see, how to explain this. like, when I got to, you get to Germany, and, like, you just, like, you're, like, cut off, like, from the American people, from, like, America as it is, because you're in the army, which is, like, an institution by itself, you know? And then, like, even, like, I think if you're, like, still stationed, like, over here, you get to go out on the weekends and, like, see, you know, what Texas is like or something like that. But since, you know, we're in Germany, you get to see, experience, like, the German culture. So you're kind of, like, double removed, I guess, from, like, the American way of life, especially since, like, the internet's really bad there, too. So kind of, I didn't have internet, actually, for the longest time because all the internet in our barracks ran out, apparently, which I don't know how that's possible, but I couldn't get internet. So, but yeah, and then you come back home and, like, you just see, like, everyone's, like, kind of, like, angry and, like, self-involved, I guess. I don't want to say that. More, like, wrapped up, like, in, like, their cell phones, pretty much. Like, you always see someone, like, staring at their cell phones, like, all the time. It's just different. And then, yeah, like, seeing, and being in Afghanistan, seeing, like, how simple everyone lived there, like, the villagers and stuff, and just how, like, they're always, like, facing war. Like, you know, like rockets, like a spare, like a loose rocket. I don't know if it's a loose rocket, but a badly placed rocket could, like, miss us and hit, like, a village house, mud hut, you know? So it's crazy just to see how people live like that. And that's, like, that's common for them, you know? And to see here, and then some people, like, complain, like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, this, my car broke down or something. Which, I mean, it's understandable. You can't, like, count them for it like some people do, I think, but it's just interesting to see a difference.
Yeah, it's totally different.
Yeah.
Did you guys interact a lot with, like, locals in Afghanistan?
We personally didn't, because, like, we were taking rockets, like, every other day, so we were pretty much shooting, like, the housers all day, and, like, the infantry guys, that was, like, their job to, like, go out and, like, patrol or whatever. So I think we kind of had, like, not, like, a very atypical deployment experience, considering that we pretty much, like, stay in the base all the time. But, like, the base is right next to the village. So there are always, like, villagers or, like, workers coming up. And you get to, like, talk to them, you know? And, yeah. It's just crazy. Like, obviously, like, Islam, like, rules, like, their whole land. So, like two or three times a day, I forgot, probably around three times a day, you hear, like, a prayer being chant. And, like, everyone would stop and pray. And, like, yeah. So it's crazy.
Were you able to communicate with anyone?
Not really. We had, like, interpreters, and, like, they would, like, translate for us.
Yeah, definitely.
And in Germany, like, the most important, like, phrase I learned was "Sprechen Sie English," which is "Do you speak English?" And mostly everyone spoke English, so it wasn't really that much of a language barrier. Well, there was, but it wasn't, like, as much as it was in Afghanistan. So
definitely. Let's see. So what were, like, some of your emotions before you got sent overseas?
Let's see. Well, we spent pretty much, like, the entire winter and spring training outside in Germany, just, like, training to go to Afghanistan, you know, like, working on, like, shooting howitzers and machine guns and stuff like that. So, like, you're, like, built up and trained so much for it, you kind of just want to get it over with, you know, and just, like, see what it's like. So I would say excited. And, actually, there's one point where, since, like, they're, like, drawing back troops, I guess, from Afghanistan a little bit, like, they're, like, cutting back, like, people who were going to go with us to Afghanistan. And, like, I would feel, like, really bad, like, really, like a piece of shit, pretty much, if I didn't, like, go with, like, the rest of my unit there and I stay behind. So there's one point where I thought I wasn't going to go. I was kind of, like, pretty much, I'd say, like, depressed. That's probably the best word. Cause, like, you know, I don't want to, like, be the one left behind while everyone else, like, whatever. Like, all my friends went over, you know. So, but yeah, but once I knew I was going for sure, I was, I guess, like, a little bit anxious, a little bit excited. I just wanted to get there pretty much just to see what it was like.
Yeah, I probably want to know too. So what would you say the biggest thing is that the military has taught you?
The biggest thing? I say resiliency and, and stress management too. Like, not letting things, like, so out of control. Like, always having, like, a handle on things, you know what I mean? Like, even, like, if, like, you can't personally have it, but, like, mentally having a handle on things and not, like, getting, like, so, like, worked up and bent out of shape and, like, that like overrush stuff you can't control. Then what else? Yeah, I'm just like knowing your limits too. Like like growing up in Virginia, I thought when it got to like 28 degrees, it was cold. But being like in the field in Germany during the middle of winter and then getting to like -5 degrees and sleeping in a tent, the wind like going right through it, no heater. Like you, then like you're like, all right, this is what cold's like, and you kind of just learn from it, I guess. So you really get to like know your limits. Same with like sleep deprivation too, I think. Because there's one point in Afghanistan where like our base caught on fire, like a rocket hit our generator, and like a quarter of the base was lit up on fire. It took out like a few buildings, a guard tower, and like a section, like a corner of the wall, and we were up for like 2 nights straight, pretty much just on watch, because we got word that, like, all like the, I won't say the bad guys in the area wanted to like wipe out our base, so we were just like on high alert for like 2 days straight. So, and like, yeah, you learn like things to do is like to stay awake and to stay warm. So yeah, just knowing your limits, I guess.
How did you guys stay awake?
Let's see, talking to each other a lot, like playing like just like. Like name game, put it like this thing called a name game, just like little stupid stuff like that, I guess. Just staying engaged, I guess, drinking lots of coffee, like moving around a lot, like not staying still. Yeah,
what's the name game?
Let's see if I can remember correctly, it's been a while. Like, you start with a celebrity, and then like the first letter. The celebrity's last name, you have to think of celebrity whose first name starts with that letter. And it'll just go from there and there and there. So it pretty much like never ended.
That's awesome. How long did it take you to acclimate to being a soldier? Like abroad?
Abroad, like in Germany? Probably, I'd say like maybe 2 months. I started to get the full swing of like everyday life in Germany. Even though like, we weren't in the field, like there's still just like a lot of like nomenclature and like daily activities that they don't really teach you in basic training, just because you're so used to, like, you know, this is what you have to do, you have to listen, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, about 2 months or so, I'd say.
How long? So you're in basic training for 2 months.
I think, no, we were in basic training for like 3.5 months maybe. Then I was in advanced individual training, I think it's called. It's called AIT. That was for 5 weeks. That's where I learned how to like shoot cannons and stuff. So it was pretty easy. It's like one of the shortest ones there is, I think, for the whole army.
So lucky.
This is grunt work, really.
Okay, so you're in that for, so you're in basic for 3.5 months,
mm-hmm.
And then you were in AIT for 5 months.
5 weeks.
5 weeks. Oh man. Okay, I totally got that wrong. And then you're in Germany for how long?
I was in Germany for about a year before I went to Afghanistan. I was in Afghanistan for about a year. Then I was back in Germany again for like a little less than a year. And then I got out.
Gotcha. So what was the training to go abroad like?
For Afghanistan? Well, a lot of it, well, Germany, units in Germany are known for having like winter field exercises, you know, to like get you used to the cold. So they always consistently do that no matter what, I've heard at least. So that was like the main thing, and the training was pretty much just like working on like getting our crew drills for the guns, so like making sure like we were quick getting the data for the guns, like putting in the information, loading it, shooting it, and all that stuff. So pretty much like the entire time was spent just like shooting howitzers, like packing up the howitzers, putting them on like a truck, towing, going somewhere else, stopping, taking off the howitzers, getting set up and shooting again.
Cool. What was the cold like compared to like Montana?
Well, let's see. Well, you're here in Montana. I mean, I think for the most of us, we live inside, so you're not really sleeping outside as much, you know, if you're lucky, obviously. But so, I mean, I'd say it's definitely colder here. Like, last year during the Hellgate win, I think that was, like, the single time I've been the coldest of my life. Because I was walking across a bridge, and, yeah, I feel like this is probably the coldest I've ever been. Just because it was, like, ripping through my sweatshirt and everything. But I mean, you're living inside. You go from like building to building pretty much. Whereas in Germany, we're sleeping in a tent, and like a lot of times we had a heater in the tent, but like a lot of times it broke down, didn't work. And plus, we weren't in the tent like all day. We were outside, like sitting on the housers. So it's more, I guess, like a. Let's see. Well, I guess it's more like long-term climatization versus just like you're just outside for a few minutes. You know, going from the library to liberal studies building. It's pretty much. Yeah, so.
Yeah, we have it easy here, even if it is cold.
I don't think it's colder in Montana, though, than Germany.
That's good. I want to go to Germany. I have a friend who lives over there. So what was the best day of your service?
The best day? Probably the day I left Tillman, because I knew. Well, I didn't know, but I was like, I'm gonna make it out of here, Afghanistan alive. But I always had this sneaking suspicion that maybe like a rocket at a big Air Force base would just randomly find me and just blow me up. It was kind of all the back of our minds. Just we all joked about it a lot. That, and then the day I got out was probably the second best day of my life.
What was the worst day?
The worst day? There are a lot of days in Garrison in Schweinfurt, which means we weren't in the field. In Schweinfurt, Germany, we weren't in the field, but like we were just like doing like normal everyday mundane stuff, and like the people in charge would just like go crazy over something I don't even know what, like just something absolutely ridiculous that wasn't important at all, and we'd be up to like 10 o'clock at night just like doing the stupidest stuff. So probably one of those days.
How did you guys deal with like the constant threat of like possibly dying when you were in Afghanistan?
Really, we didn't think about it that much. You kind of just, like, you just, I mean, it's kind of in the back of your head, but you can't let it, like, occupy, like, your thoughts. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of just, you acknowledge it, but you don't obsess over it. So, just, like, joking around with each other. Like, you, like, wake up and see, like, the same, like, six guys, so you kind of form, like, a brother. You've got brothers, pretty much, you know, so. We like took each other's mind off of it by our friendship, I guess you could say.
Did you have like one friend in particular who you're really close with? Or?
I won't say one in particular, because like we were always like, you know, like constantly like around each other as like a group. So it's like the whole group as a whole. But I mean, there's like sergeants, you know, which are like the guys in charge of us, like the privates. So I pretty much became like good friends with all like the privates and specialists and stuff.
Are you really like in touch with them still?
I won't say really in touch with them, but yeah, like we still talk to each other like through Facebook, and like sometimes like I'll call them like every once in a while. I think it's like a guy that I've only like talked to like three of my friends like through the phone, but like I'll still like message them like on Facebook every once in a while.
Definitely. Ew, this thing sucks. If you like hit it at the right angle, it goes out. I don't know why. So would you do it all over again?
What you mean, like, if I went back in time? Yeah. Right now, I'll probably want to do it all over again. But I think for, like, the time and place where I was at when I was 19, yeah, I think it was good. It was a good experience overall.
That's good. So what was the transition like coming home and reintegrating yourself?
Like, coming home, like out of the Army for good, or coming home from Afghanistan? Or both?
Yeah, let's do both.
Well, let's see. Coming back from Afghanistan, we were in Germany for like a week, just like getting like, you know, settled. And I came back home to America to see my parents for like about a month, a little less than a month, probably like 3 weeks. And I don't know, it was weird, because I think like you expect like so much like to change or like to happen like for like yourself and like even like everyone else, I guess. Like, you don't, like, expect them to, like, acknowledge you, like, so much, you know, but I guess you expect things to be different as a whole. And, like, a lot of it's not. It's either, like, just the same or it's worse. Or, like, people are, oh, okay, blah, blah, blah. And then, so, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, you enjoyed it. Like, you kind of got back. We drank a lot or whatever. But, yeah, I don't know if it really answered that question that good. But, let's see. And then getting out of the army, it was definitely weird. I heard some people say that they miss like the structure and like the regimen of having like your day planned out. I didn't at all. I was completely happy having like my day free and just being able to do whatever I wanted every day. But I guess like you kind of miss like your friends a little bit, like your drinking buddies or whatever, because like it seemed like everyone else was like busy working. I mean, which is, you know, which is completely understandable. But I say it's definitely a little bit weird, especially being like I said, like double removed, like being in Germany and then being in the army as well. To come back to like the American way of life and having a deal. Like I live back in Virginia, so it's like right outside DC. So there's like a lot of traffic. It's getting used to like rush hour and stuff was kind of pissing me off. I wish I was back in Germany like a lot of the times too, just cause I like miss the culture and the way of life there.
You think you'll ever go back?
If I can afford it and if, yeah, I definitely would like to go back, like, with a new, like, lens, new perspective on everything. Instead of, you know, being, like, 19 and I'm in Germany and I can drink legally. So, yeah, I definitely would like to go back and, like, travel a little bit more.
Cool. Was it hard coming back and kind of dealing with, like, the American public's perspective on the war?
No, not really. Cause you know, I think like a lot of veterans like take it like really seriously. Like they try and like compare everything to like, how it was in Iraq and Afghanistan, which you just can't cause it's completely different, you know? Like I read like some article in the Cayman the other day about like some veteran who said like, if you think going to classes or try to be in Iraq, it's like, well, they didn't sign up to go to Iraq, you know? So, but yeah, I mean, you know, you take it for what it is. I like to hear, you know, people who are for it and people who are against it, just to hear every perspective, I guess. So, no, I wouldn't say so. I'd say people are like, blindly supporting it, though, which is kind of, I mean, it is what it is, I guess. I wish people would take, like, a more critical look at it and see, like, for example, like, ISIS, you know, it's pretty much, like, the direct cause of us, I think, at least, because we didn't leave, like, any kind of infrastructure after we pulled out of Iraq. So, I mean, I guess you can't let other people's opinions affect you too badly.
Definitely. What's your opinion on the war?
In Afghanistan? Well, I hope they learn from what's happening in Iraq now that we won't pull out as quickly. I mean, I kind of like, you know, like, yeah, like you can argue either way. Like, we shouldn't have gone or we should have gone. But either way, we're there now. And we can't like, leave it like just a broken country. We have to like, I think, like, shape it a little bit and prepare it. Because the Taliban is going to be as strong as when we leave, if not stronger. Because, you know, a decade of what they see as occupations is going to build a lot more support for the Taliban. So, but yeah, I don't know. I think we'll see what the future holds, I guess.
Yeah, it's hard to say. So how do you think your military service affected the rest of your life?
I mean, definitely it's an experience, you know, you can't turn like a blind eye towards it because it's like definitely shaped you, but you can't let it like completely take over your life and like who you are now. Like you can't let your military experience like set the bar for the rest of your life or like something like, you know, the criterion, like you always compare it to it like, oh, this happened in the military, this happened now. Like, this isn't as bad. It's just this experience you just got to take for what it is, like, however experience was for you. I mean, some people have troubles, I guess. None of my friends died in Afghanistan, so I guess I was lucky. There's a few times where we were, like, this close to dying, but we never died, so luckily.
What was one of the times you were that close?
There were a few times. One time we were, like, walking to go... I forgot where. We're, like, walking to the other side of the, like, little outpost, and there's, like, a little gate we have to go through. Built out of, like, HESCO baskets, which is, like, just giant, like, blocks filled with sand and dirt, you know? And, like, we literally, like, we, like, walked through the gate, like, went right, and walked probably for, like, 5 steps. And, like, right where we were, like, a rocket came and just blew up. And, like, we got, like, showered with, like, rocks and dirt and stuff. And... And, like, every time that happens, like, when you get hit with, like, rocks and stuff, you, like, your first, like, immediate thoughts is shrapnel. It's, like, going through your body, you know? So, but then, like, after, like, a second or whatever, you realize it's not, and that you're good. And then, the second time, this is, this day was, okay, so during, the winter months, like, the fighting calms down, like, a lot, because it snows in Afghanistan, and people, like, everyone just, I think, like, all, like, the top level guys go like home or whatever, see their families, do whatever. But yeah, so it's like during the winter months, like nothing really happens. And then like March came, which is like pretty much like the first day is like the around spring started up. So they started beginning their offensive, and like they started like hard. Like they're driving around in the valley, and they're shooting like rockets from the bed of a truck. They'll shoot and move like pretty much like the entire day, and then there's one time where we heard the alarm go off for, like, an incoming rocket, you know? We would, like, sometimes you hear alarm, sometimes you wouldn't. But, yeah, this time the alarm went off. So we hid behind, like, how to explain this? So there's, like, our ammo bunker, right, where all the rounds were. We hid in front of that, and right in front of us, there's, like, another, like, 4-foot-tall HESCO basket, like, a whole line of them. So we always thought that was, like, the safest place because if, like, our rocket's going to, like, come in through a little small gap and hit, like, the ammo, we pretty much knew, like, we're all going to be, like, obliterated pretty much, you know? Like, there must be nothing left. So we hid there. We heard an alarm. The alarm went off, like, and then, like, it shut off, you know? So we thought, like, maybe it was a false alarm, which happened a lot. And, like, pretty much a few seconds after the alarm stopped, a rocket came in and hit, like, right on top of the ammo bunker. Luckily, we had, like, a bunch of, like, HESCO baskets on top, like, dirt padded down, you know? Like, it's, like, heavily protected just in case that happens. But, yeah, it was, like, 5 feet from us. And then, like, the next thing I know, we're just, like, covered in – there's, like, a big dirt cloud around us. I can't see anything. Then, like, my friend yelled, "Oh, my God." I'm like, "Is everyone all right?" I started laughing because I was like, "Holy shit, that was close, you know?" And then, yeah, we ran out and hid in the bunker. And I couldn't stop laughing because I was like, "Oh, God damn," you know? My friend was, like, shaking, like, his hand was shaking. And, yeah, looking back on it now, we probably all got concussions. And, yeah, so luckily we blew up that truck that day. So that was, like, the one day I was like, if we don't, like, take these guys out, like, they're going to take us out, like, today, you know? So I'm kind of glad that we did for my own personal sake and everyone else I was there with. So that's pretty much, like, the two close calls, I guess.
Definitely. Yeah. That'd be hard. So did it hit above you then?
Like,
were you underneath the bunker?
No. Like, so we were, like, the bunker's, like, right here, I guess. We were, like, right here. And then there's, like, a HESCO basket right here. So, like, we're in between the two. And it hit on top of the bunker, like, right behind us. Like, you can't actually get inside the bunker. It was, like, just, like, a small little thing full of, like, artillery rounds, you know? So, it's probably only, like, 6 or 7 feet tall. And, hit, like, 5 feet, like, behind us pretty much on top of the bunker. Above us and, like, up a little bit. So, diagonal.
Damn, you guys got lucky.
Very lucky.
So, do you ever regret joining at all?
No. I mean, not really. I don't really have, like, too many particularly painful memories. So, I guess that's a plus. But, yeah. And plus, like, I'm on the GI Bill now, which is helps out a lot. I'd say, like, right now, being on the GI Bill, I don't regret it at all. But we'll see what happens later on.
So did you keep, like, any keepsakes for good luck?
I kept one uniform top from Afghanistan because it was, like, kind of ripped up and just kind of, like, it was, like, a reminder, I guess, of, like, what it was like. I bought, like, a Buddha in Afghanistan, too, like, before we left to, like, go to Tilman. I thought, like, just, it was, like, good luck or something, you know? So I kept that. And I bought and traded a bunch of rubies. The, like, villagers and stuff. Like, I traded a PSP for, like, 3 rubies. So I kept all the rubies still and sapphires and all the gems, which I'm not sure if they're fake or not, but I don't know.
That's crazy. I didn't know they had rubies.
There's a lot of like mineral deposits there and stuff in Afghanistan.
Wow. That's awesome. Let's see. Sorry, this is a long interview.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's in a rush.
So how has going into battle affected your relationships? Has it?
Like with people I know or just like people I don't know? Like
more like people you know.
Let's see. I say it hasn't really affected it too much. I mean, I guess it has a little bit. I'd say you'd be better off asking my friends about that, I guess. Friends and family. I think my family, they kind of watch like too much news, I think, so I kind of think like it affected me like so hardcore, you know. But I think like my friends, like they think they know I'm fine, so I guess it just depends really.
On who you ask.
Yeah.
For sure. What was your proudest moment in the military?
Proudest? Probably winning this award called the Henry Knox Award, which, okay, so in our artillery unit, there's probably like 5 batteries. And the battery is just a company, you know? A company. So, okay, well, I'll break it down like guns, I guess. It's hard to like describe like the bureaucracy of, you know, whatever, how it breaks down. But, like, okay, in each battery, there's probably like 4 guns. So in our battery, like, 2, like, we were at Tillman, and the other platoon was at a place called Zarak. And the other platoon was at a place called Boris. And, but yeah, so it's like 6 guns, I guess, you know. And there's, like, obviously, like, a lot of, like, batteries in the whole army. It's probably, like, hundreds. So about 3 months after we got back from Afghanistan to Germany during a... I forgot what they call it. It's when the whole battalion meets up. A battalion's like 5 batteries, like, or like 3 or 4. I forgot. Yeah, probably like 3 or 4. But yeah, so like the whole battalion met up, and our colonel said that he's like, "I want to congratulate Bravo Battery for winning the Henry Knox Award." And I was like, "What the hell is that?" And like he said, like the Henry Knox Award. I didn't ask him that. He like told us right after. He kind of answered my own question, but he said the Henry Knox Award is given to the best battery in the entire army for that whole year. So I thought it was, like, quite an achievement, considering how many batteries there were in the entire army, you know. And that was for the year we were in Afghanistan. So that's, I think it's like, kind of like a recognition for what we did over there, I guess. Which, I mean, I don't think we really did anything. It's kind of like, it was just as worse when we left as when we got there, so... But I think it's more for like we how many rounds we shot, and like each round we shot was like always on target, like we didn't like mess up at all, you know. So.
Wow, that's awesome!
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Did you get like a medal or a?
It went on our records, like the award, but it's not like a medal you like wear. But we got like a piece of paper from the, like the general of the artillery saying congratulations to the Bravo Battery. And like I think I said, like, keep up the good work, some like kind of insincere like that, you know, nothing really personal. So I thought it was pretty cool though, just because like I said, there's like so many batteries in the army, and like we were like the one to get it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's see, what was the first thing that you wanted to like eat or drink, or did you like miss any one thing? Like,
yeah, definitely. Like coming back from Afghanistan. Well, coming back from Afghanistan, the first thing I wanted to eat was this. So there's these Turkish sandwiches in Germany called doner kebabs, and that was like, that's like the best sandwich I ever had like my whole life probably. Nothing will probably top it, just because it's like a lot of vegetables, and it's like greasy, and there's cheese in it, and it's like the bread's really good. It's like goat cheese or something, like really weird, but it's good. So that's the first thing I miss. I got that, and then since there's like no pizza in Germany, like. They can't do pizza like at all. So I really like wanted pizza too. And then when I got back to America.
Yeah, I was staying abroad in Australia for like 6 months, and yeah. All I wanted was Cheetos. That's like all I wanted in the whole world. They're so good. Oh my God. So did you ever have to like kill anyone while you were? I'm sure you did.
I mean, yeah, we did, but it's not like it's the whole warfare over there is like for the most part. I mean, I can't speak obviously for everyone, but I think for like the average like artilleryman, even like infantryman, is like it's very, very impersonal. Like, if someone's shooting at you, it's like a guy from like a couple of guys from like 600 yards away on top of a mountain shooting at you. So you can't see them. You just hear like bullets coming at you, you know? So it's like very impersonal. But yeah, we didn't keep count, but I think it's somewhere in like 20 or like 25 people that we killed. But it's like I said, it's very impersonal. So I didn't really like think too much about it, I guess. Considering we fired like 4,000 rounds too, it's like each round like hit someone, so it's kind of just like our job, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. Well, that's all I have for you. Did I miss anything? Is there anything you'd like to add?
I don't think so.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks, Bo.
Yep.
Thanks for taking time to see me.
No problem.
I have your busy.